5 years ago, that kind of thing wasn't happening in the UK and Europe. And I'd love to just give you, for like 3 minutes, a little bit of context of where we are as a team. And then Justin's going to come share a little bit about what we're doing at the moment in terms of reimagining evangelism without open doors and what opportunities we've got. So what I'm excited about, now I'm not a preacher like Bryson, Des, I just kind of talk at you, so I apologise, it's a bit more informal, but what I love about our team in the UK is every single one of them is called and every single one of them is here for this reason and for this season, and it's become very, very clear over the last few years. So there's six of us in the UK and Europe, and all from very different backgrounds. I used to be a children's nurse before I did this, working in a hospital called Great Ormond Street Hospital, and on the side did ministries with young people on estates doing like fitness and weightlifting and that kind of stuff back in the day, with young people with double-decker buses and working with gangs and that kind of stuff. About in 2005, you may have heard about it, there was something called the London bombings, 7/7, where Al-Qaeda and five people came and blew up tubes and buses across London, right by Russell Square and King's Cross, which is where our hospital was. And at that time, I was working, running the respiratory unit on this day shift, and we got this phone call at 9 o'clock saying, I need you to form a team and come and help us. There's been these bombings down in the tube right outside where the hospital is. So I was full-time nursing at the time. I was 25, so still kind of green and new to this whole thing. But effectively, I created a team that would then go down into the tunnels and start pulling people out of the rubble and the mess. And my job was to get people from the tunnels that had been blown up by these terrorists through to the hospital door, where we've built a walking wounded kind of triage unit in the Costa Coffee, so we can start assessing people and getting them either into theatre or bloods or whatever, or chest drains or arms and legs and all that kind of stuff. So my job was to coordinate this, and actually the bit I kind of helped with was the pathway between the hospital and the tunnels. And I was sending kind of a pair, like a nurse and a doctor together. We're working together, and we set up these bays in this Costa Coffee, and effectively formed a team spontaneously. But the first thing we needed to do was to get equipment and people down into the tunnels to start pulling people up. And we had to clear the path, and we had to start moving rubble and mess from the road outside the train station through to the hospital. And 9 hours later, when this was still going on, there was about 750 wounded on that day. 50-something died. I went, had a two-minute break to go and have a wee. Went into the toilet cubicle. And you know when you get that kind of minute and you go, what on earth is going on? This is crazy. What am I doing here? Like, why am I doing this, firstly? Why are we in this mess and this situation? And in that moment, I very clearly heard God speak to me in this toilet cubicle. And it took years to kind of work out what he was saying in some ways. But effectively, my surname is Ploughman. And so with my job with Plough, quite often I have to plough a path for God to move and to come and get into the city. And God just said it clearly, said, sometimes I need you to be a bulldozer. I need you to go ahead and clear paths so I can come through to build a platform or to move away things aside so that I can make a move, so I can bring a transformation into a city or into a region. When I was 17, God called me to be part of a transformation across the UK and Europe. And I can tell you many, many stories and examples of what God does. But what I love is, even years before I started working with the Palau, God was lining up, I believe, a team that is ready to see transformation across the UK and Europe for what's going on. And every single one of our little team of six has a story like that and a gifting and a calling. Mine might be to be a bulldozer. And occasionally we have to kind of move stuff to one side to allow things to move through, to allow healing to happen, to allow transformation to happen. And so when we started with Plough in the UK, it was a very dormant charity. There was no activities particularly happening. There was a few collaborative missions happening, but very, very low key. It was like a dormant charity. And actually my first day, my job was to shut down the office and make some quite dramatic changes. And I had to be the bulldozer. But what's nice is now we've cleared a space, we're starting to see God do more and open doors and see more and more opportunities come up. And Justin will share a little bit about that. I wrote a list of notes. I just want to make sure I mention everything. So our team are not professionals. I'm a nurse. Yeah, I'm not a professional Christian. I don't have qualifications in anything particularly. I'm just an enthusiast. I just hopefully love God the best I can, and that might be a witness to some people. And our whole team are not professionals, but what we want to do is build a culture that is different to the corporate Christianity that has creeped into Western church. We want to move away from program setting and live a kingdom lifestyle that actually makes an impact and change and transformation, because I think that is going to be the key to see genuine transformation of cities that are full of mess and rubble when people come in to kill, steal and destroy. And so we're trying to build that culture of kingdom lifestyle, of balance, of healthy relationships, of moving away from the well-worn path of marketing and communication, for example. All these things are necessary. All these things are so, so important. You have to have a program. But actually, let's make sure that's the secondary that supports what God is doing. And if we get the culture right, it's really, really exciting to what we could see God happen. So, that's a bit of context. That was 5 years ago. We now have a really slick promo video, which is really exciting. I feel like we've achieved. We also, and you'll see it in a minute, did our first festival in Manchester a few weeks ago. I've got more grey hair than I had 6 months ago. And it was the biggest evangelistic outreach event in the UK for a generation. It was our first thing back as Palau UK. And that's not to kind of blow any trumpets, that's just to say that God is on the move and there's some very, very exciting things going on. So part of that is working with some brilliant partners, and the partnerships that are coming are as a result of long-term relationships from all of us within the team that all come from different backgrounds, different organisations, coming together and going, can we have a chat? Let's do this differently. I don't really want to just do career Christianity anymore. I want to do, like, we want to see revival across the UK and Europe. So we phone a friend and we say, are you up for doing this with us? Are you up for clearing through rubble? And they go, yeah, let's go. And so we set on a different way of doing things. So that's a bit about background. Justin, why don't you come and explain where we're up to at the moment, and then I'll talk about the future.
Brilliant.
I'll take my notes with me.
I got loads of stuff here. This is crazy. Yep. I'll try to stand still. I'm not great at standing still. I'm a pacer. I like to pace and go back and forth. I remember about a couple of months ago working for Palau, and we had to do some video recording. And I remember, and it was quite a long time, I had to stand in front of camera. And it was so hard for me to stand. Everyone's saying, stand still, because I want to pace up and down. So I'll try my very best to kind of stand in one space. So it's really good to meet you all. Really good to be here. And I am genuinely super excited about working for Palau. But in this season, in this time, God is doing some amazing stuff. And as Dave alluded to, the team is incredible, the small team. And we all have a passion for God and to see his kingdom reign in the UK and across Europe. And we'd love to see people receive the good news, amen. And that is the best ingredient we could ever have, right? All the skills that we have, the best ingredient is just the passion to see people saved. And that's what we have as a team. And I've been working in the team now, coming up for 9 months. It feels a lot longer than that in a good way, but because we've done so much. But so I've been part of the team for 9 months, and there's been so many opportunities. I've been working in the Christian sector for many, many years, and I can truly say it's the most excited I've been at working for an organisation, because it is what David said. It is all we want to do is serve, and we want to see the good news proclaimed across the UK and Europe, and it needs it, and it really does. So in the last 6 or so months, we have had so many opportunities, and I just want to really highlight a couple to you as well. And I had notes, but as I've been sitting there today, and I'm not even going to stick to my notes, because God's just been speaking to me about various things, and I need half an hour, but I know I've only got 10 minutes. But I remember speaking to a leader a couple of months ago, and he was talking around Acts 27, and he was saying about the story of Paul as he was on the journey to Rome, and on the way he encountered a storm. And during that storm, they had to unload so much things off the boat for it to not sink. And these are good things, things that sustained them, things that were useful in that time, in that season. But they had to kind of throw them overboard and almost reevaluate where they are and to save the ship. And then they ended up in foreign lands. They ended up on new shores that they'd never expected to see and they didn't know what they expected to do. And God really spoke to me in the sense of, that's the season that I believe that we're in globally, but in the UK and Europe. We have been through storms. We're in a new culture now. We've gone through so much as a societies, and we've had to throw things overboard. We've had to reevaluate things. These have worked in the last season and been really instrumental and fruitful, but we've had to unload a lot of things. And we're ending up on a new culture now, a new horizon. That it's looking different, isn't it? It really is looking different. And that's one of the other leaders, he works for the same organization. I had coffee with him the other day, and he was saying that he's been part of ministering over the last 30 or so years, and he's finding it really difficult to know how to kind of really evangelize and speak to people about the good news. And that's something that he's really comfortable in doing. But it's because the world is so different now, the things that they're asking are different, and that how we do things in terms of evangelism is different. So that really spoke to me. And part of the opportunities that we've had, I need to get back on script because I've only got 10 minutes. But one of the opportunities that we've had is partnering with different organisations to do some research in mapping out the landscape here in the UK. And this is called the Talking Jesus Report. Got it here. So in the break, if you want to have a look at it, flip through it, do have a look. UK focused. We first did it in 2015 with a group of leaders across different denominations with the heart to say, what is the impact the church is having in terms of evangelism? And how are non-Christians perceiving us as Christians? How well are we doing? And it's a phenomenal piece of research. And really my heart is, it's not just research to kind of swell our own heads to kind of go, hey, we know more things. But it's how do we use this as a tool to go, hey, it's a new landscape, it's a new horizon. What is the world like right now? How can we really use this as a tool to really impact people with the good news? And the kind of well-known account in the Bible that really speaks to me is in Chronicles about the sons of Issachar, who were renowned for their insight into culture and knew what Israel could do. And that's really my heart for the Talking Jesus research, is give us some insight into what are the next steps for us? How can we really engage culture right now? What does it look like? And what things do we need to throw overboard to reevaluate what we're doing? So we did this back in 2015, and then we've relaunched this now in 2022 to kind of remap where we are. And I just want to just go over a few slides, not to go into any in-depth, but just to give you a quick snapshot on some things that are really speaking to us to go, hey, this is really interesting. Maybe this really kind of input into some of the things that we're going to be doing. So I'll whiz you through a few. So firstly, that kind of gives the state of the UK church right now. 48% say they are Christians, and 6% say they are practicing, i.e. they go to church regularly, they read the Bible regularly. The remaining percentage are those who would say, hey, I grew up in a Christian family, I associate with Christianity. But for me, what really stood out was the atheism, 12%. That's gone up massively since 2015. Back in 2015, it was 11%, and now it's gone, none of the above. Now it's gone up to 26%, don't even affiliate with a faith anymore. It's kind of like, no, I'm not interested in that. So it's some really interesting things for that. The next slide is how are people finding about Christianity, which is really interesting. I think Google comes out at 26%. So isn't that a really great insight in terms of how people are engaging with the faith, about how important it is to keep digital at the forefront of what we're doing. 22% the church and 22% the Bible. I love that. No matter man-made ideas and vehicles, actually the Bible, the word of God, the truth of God still remains really truth and impactful. The next one is the percentage of non-Christians who know are practicing Christian. And this is really interesting. 2015, it was 68%. Now it's gone down to 53%. So that's a bit of a kind of warning for us as the local church to say, hey, we need to keep maintaining contact with people. We need to get out there and engage in society. The other one was, what questions are they asking, non-Christians? 19% say, will everything be okay? That's interesting. We just come out of COVID. So it's like people are kind of, it's kind of rocked their world. It's kind of like, hey, all the things I put my security in, that's kind of gone and moving about a bit. Is everything going to be okay? What's next? So that's really interesting how we talk about the narrative. What will make me happy? And the other one, specifically for non-Christians, it's not on this one, but another high one came out, is what happens when I die? So these are really great narratives to really have an understanding of how we give a really great answer. The other one is about one-third of our non-Christian friends who have had a conversation with Christians about Christianity are really up for knowing more.
Yeah.
That's amazing. One in three. In 2015, it was one in five. That's really exciting. So people are really hungry. People are really open to knowing about the gospel. That's really encouraging for us in the UK. And lastly, people are most likely to come to faith before they're 18 years old. So this is a great spectrum. The encouraging thing that the whole spectrum is there. So it's like whatever age you are, people are coming to Christ. But there is a real sweet spot that if before they're 18, people are really receptive to the gospel and give a commitment. So that really gives us an insight into actually it's the youth of this culture in the UK to sow into these ministries because it's so important because that's when they're most receptive. So this is just a really great opportunity for us to kind of get some insight into the landscape of the UK. And some of the exciting thing coming up is we're going to be looking at doing global as well, doing a global study to kind of give a landscape globally. And that is really going to help us as Palau and the Global Network of Evangelists to go, okay, we've got some insight here and we can maximise the way that we kind of bringing the good news and talking to people. So that's one kind of area of opportunity that we've had, which is really exciting. And the second one is we've developed this Exploring Evangelism resource pack, which we're really excited about because we were thinking about what is the best way here as a team in the UK to really come alongside the local church and really help them, inspire them in terms of evangelism. How can we get a conversation going? How can we come alongside and really help resource them and kind of input into what they're doing? So we came up with a great pack, and it contains like a wealth of information for local leaders to see evangelism flourish across their regions. And this is not the golden box where they read it and they've got the answers to everything, but it's a door, it's an opportunity for us to kind of start the conversation and go, hey, we just want to come alongside, we want to serve you guys, we've got some tools that we feel that can be a blessing to you and your ministry, and kind of develop that conversation. So we put this together in the last few months, and it contains a lot of Louise's books, it contains case studies, like the Portland story and how they've been doing it over many, many years, and it provides an opportunity. And a part of that resource is we want to provide a conversation with them, so we're going to be hosting an event called the Exploring Evangelism Conversation, and that is hosting like a 90-minute event to say, hey, we want to invite your leaders in the city where you are and come around the table and go, hey, what is evangelism like in your region? What's the temperature like? We want to ask for some questions. We want to resource you. And we just want to spark that conversation of evangelism and getting people really excited about it. Because people are excited about evangelism in the UK. But there is a lot of fear in how they do that. There's a lot of unknown equipping to be done. And there's just a unity involved in that, and we just want to be the catalyst of that. We want to elevate that conversation. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing in the coming months and years, is having conversations around the UK and bleeding into Europe, and just be a catalyst with that. And then the next step for that is then we want to then come alongside leaders in cities and say, hey, why don't you create a team that is passionate about evangelism? We call that evangelism teams or E-teams. To say, hey, what's the long-term plan for your city in keeping and elevating the story of evangelism where you are and see transformation in your city? So that's our hope. That's the opportunities that are coming up for us as an organisation, and we're really excited to be part of that conversation, and doors are really opening up for us already, working with other unity groups within the UK and Europe that we'll talk about in a little bit, but we're really excited about that. So there are two opportunities, and then open doors is the next thing. So Dave, do you want to cover, we'll start that for some of the open doors that we've got coming up too?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier there's three or four new movements and gatherings of people across Europe that we're really excited to be invited to and to be part of. One of them is Europe Shall Be Saved, which is more for leaders across Europe to strategize and think how can they do things. You'll see a lot of that outworked through Amsterdam 2023, which I'm sure will be mentioned later on. The Talking Jesus research was a partnership between Palau, Alpha, the Evangelical Alliance, and a group called Hope, which was originally a Church of England project, a missions project in 2008, and now they exist to accelerate evangelism as well. We're looking to, as Justin said, take that globally, and we're looking at a list of countries that would benefit from running the Talking Jesus research, and we will hope to fundraise for that. So if you believe there's a real need for it in your region, your country, do let us know so we can add them to the list. What we see is a brilliant catalyst for change in terms of accelerating evangelism. We're also partnering with a new conversation with a group called CAP, Christians Against Poverty, which is a big charity in the UK, growing early days in the US, but they have regional workers dealing with people who live in poverty, and they have church partners, and effectively they want every church partner in every region to use the Exploring Evangelism book, run one of these conversations, and make sure that they're elevating the role of the evangelist within their region and elevating evangelism and making sure they do it properly. And that's through this kind of self-assessment tools that we come and do as part of those evenings. So there are a few of our partners. The other probably biggest move of an outreach event that's been going on recently is something called Awakening Europe. You may have come across it, led by a guy called Ben Fitzgerald. Again, they're bringing together multi-denominations to gather together, and they do something called the Callback, where they're saying, actually, historically, for hundreds of years, Europe has been an ascending continent. UK has been an ascending country, but actually we need to call back some of those evangelists back to Europe again to help re-evangelize Europe. So that happens over the summer. We'll do Amsterdam 23, and then in 2024 we're looking at doing that potentially in the UK as well. So there's some exciting things going on. We ran Manchester with the Message Trust a few weeks ago. We'll show you that video. And that's actually led on to a whole bunch of conversations, because quite often you need to kind of show people what you do, don't you, so they really grasp it. And we invited 30 leaders from around Europe to experience the festival and the festival process, not because the festival is the end result, but it's part of this circle. And actually a city or region may get on board at the forming evangelism team side of things, and actually then move around to at some point running a festival, and then at some point after a festival you look at long-term legacy and lasting transformation. And we're in partnership and talking to groups in Scotland, in Rome, in two lots in Germany, in Belgium, Devon, the Isle of Man, and a few others. So it's going to be a busy few months, so please come and help and do some collaborative missions so we can do this together.